Genesis chapter 41 and verse 1. Then it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream, and behold, he stood by the river. Suddenly there came up out of the river 7 cows, fine-looking and fat, and they fed in the meadow. Then behold, 7 other cows came up after them out of the river, ugly and gaunt, and stood by the other cows on the bank of the river. And the ugly and gaunt cows ate up the 7 fine-looking and fat cows. So Pharaoh awoke. He slept and dreamed a second time, and suddenly 7 heads of grain came up on 1 stalk, plump and good. Then behold, 7 thin heads, blighted by the east wind, sprang up after them. And the 7 thin heads devoured the 7 plump and full heads. So Pharaoh awoke, and indeed it was a dream. Now it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men. And Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was no one who could interpret them for Pharaoh. Then the chief butler spoke to Pharaoh, saying, I remember my faults this day. And Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, both me and the chief baker. We each had a dream in one night, he and I. Each of us dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream. Now there was a young Hebrew man with us there, a servant of the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted our dreams for us. To each man he interpreted according to his own dream. It came to pass just as he interpreted for us, so it happened. He restored me to my office, and he hanged him. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon, and he shaved, changed his clothing, and came to Pharaoh. I will end the reading there at the end of verse 14. We trust that God will bless this reading of his word to all our heart. Last Sunday night, as we continue to make our way through the gospel in Genesis, we were looking at Genesis 39 and 40, and we noted Joseph's time in prison. These early years for Joseph down in Egypt were a big test, but God was watching out for him, and despite the obvious adverse circumstances that he was facing, God was still using him, because Joseph would not do anything to sin against God. He had a great problem, of course, because despite the fact that he had honored God by everything he did in Potiphar's house, despite the fact that he had refused to sin, and he had shown himself to be a noble man and a man of high morals and integrity, still Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison. It's always difficult when you're living aright and doing the best you can and standing up for God when things sometimes go against you. But even in those situations, God always has something to teach us, and God is working out his plan and purpose. For even in that situation that Joseph found himself in, God did not forsake him. It might have seemed to him that he was paying a heavy price for his integrity, but Joseph was not alone, for God showed him great grace and mercy, and God reminded Joseph that he was with him every step of the way. Now tonight we come to the verses that follow here in Genesis 41, where we note Joseph's exaltation. Even though Joseph didn't know what was happening and why he was there in that prison cell, God will continue to work out his plan and purpose for him. And we can see how that begins to unfold for us in these verses I have read to you, and in the chapter that follows. We can see how that there's something here not just for us to learn as Christians about Joseph, but there's something for us whether we're saved or not. There are 3 things tonight that I want to mention about this situation here in Joseph's life. First of all, Joseph's delay, Joseph's delay. William Cowper penned a great hymn many years ago that might well have been true regarding Joseph's life at this particular time. For here's what Cowper penned. He said, God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable minds of never-failing skill, he treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. It maybe didn't seem like that in Joseph's life at this particular time, but it was true. Joseph is in prison. We know that he has been looked upon favorably and he continued to help others. Remember that he had interpreted a dream both for Pharaoh's baker and for his butler. As a result of that, the baker had been hanged and the butler was restored to his former position. And yet, having helped out, Joseph still found himself in his prison cell for a further 2 years as God worked behind the scenes to that time whenever he would be delivered. You know, from a merely human point of view, it seemed as if Joseph was there because of an injustice on the part of Potiphar, who had him sent to prison because of the way he was supposed to have treated his wife. But in reality, Joseph had done nothing wrong. But from a divine point of view, these years were necessary for Joseph. They were there for the purpose of training him and preparing him for days that were yet to come. And I'm sure if I had have been in Joseph's shoes, inside that prison cell, I'd have been, number one, wondering why I was there. Number two, wondering why God hadn't yet acted. And number three, wondering why it was taking another 2 years to sort out a situation that he hoped would have been sorted out long before now. But you know, Joseph had to learn a very important lesson that all of us need to learn tonight, no matter who we are. No matter whether we're saved or unsaved, there is something that we all need to remember, and it's this. That God is a sovereign God. And God does what he pleases. He does it when he pleases. He does it with whom he pleases. Because every single one of us are accountable to him. God is the God of eternity. He's not bound by time as you and I know time. God works according to his own timetable, according to his own plan and purpose. That's what the Bible says. It says that he worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. So you might say to me tonight, well, Pastor, if I find myself in a situation like Joseph did, if I find myself in a place where I have been crying out to God and looking for God to give respite to my situation, or I've been praying and asking God to show me his will and make it very clear to me about what it is that he wants me to do, then why is it that God has not yet moved in my situation and done what I have asked him to do? Well, I'll say again, God is sovereign. He does what he pleases, when he pleases, with whom he pleases. The best thing that we can do in life, all of us, is to take to heart the words of Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. That's just not a text for a good wedding for the bride and groom when they're brought together in marriage. These words are true of all the changing situations in life, and we must learn to trust God and leave everything in his hands. And if you're a Christian tonight, maybe you find that extremely difficult to do, especially when circumstances are dark and difficult. Especially when you feel at times as if you're going under. Your patience is running out. You see no movement to ease your situation. It's not easy when it seems as if God has forsaken us and everybody else has forgotten about us. But child of God, it's important. Important that you and I learn to trust Him. If we have put everything in His hands, He will always do what is best for us. And we must allow God to work things out that we can't understand, that we can't control. Because as for God, His way is perfect. His way is perfect. Keep trusting Him. Keep holding on to Him. The God who has never let you down in the past will not let you down in the future. But maybe you're here tonight and you're not a Christian at all. Maybe you've trusted only in yourself for the life that you've lived thus far and you've never given God a second thought. Maybe you've just gone your own way and done your own thing, and as far as you're concerned, you are in control of your own destiny. You'll do what you like, when you like, and nobody will ever have a say in your life. You're wrong. You're wrong. You may do what you like, say what you like, go where you like, live as you like, but there's one thing absolutely sure, and it's this, that God will have the last say. You're accountable to Him. You are not in control of your own destiny. None of us are. And it might be better for you just to look at the life that you're living apart from God and realize how much you need God to have His hand upon your life, for Christ to be your Savior, for you to look into the future knowing that you're blessed of God and bound for heaven, because the road that you're on right now, doing your own thing, will lead you further away from God and take you out into a lost eternity. Joseph's delay, 2 years, was all in the plan and purpose of God to work out His will in Joseph's life. He'll do the same in yours and mine if we trust Him. And if you're not saved tonight, He'll do the same in yours if you'd let Him, and if you'd come and give your life to Him. Here's the second thing, not just Joseph's delay, but Joseph's deliverance. He's still in prison 2 years after the butler had been released. But now as time passes, things were not working out for Pharaoh. He's having what you and I would call big problems. And even now, through Pharaoh's dreams, God's working quietly behind the scenes. And very soon, Joseph will have his deliverance from prison. Now look at this for a moment. I'll try to summarize all of this, and I'll try to build the picture as we find it here in Genesis 41. Pharaoh has two dreams. He couldn't understand them, but he had two dreams. They were associated with the needs and the conditions of the country, but he couldn't get them out of his head. The first dream was one that we might call a nice dream. The second dream was a nightmare, and it greatly concerned Pharaoh. He was deeply troubled in his mind. He was greatly disturbed by what he had experienced. And his response as leader was to be expected, for even leaders have their own limitations. Now we read here that he turned around and, not understanding the dreams, he knew they were significant, and he sought help and sent for the magicians, and he brought the wise men in Egypt. He told them about his dreams, and they were of no value to him because they didn't have the answer to his dreams. But then he was told where to find help. When all the magicians and the wise men couldn't help, finally after 2 years, the butler, whom Joseph had helped, stepped forward. He spoke on Joseph's behalf, related his own experience in prison, how that a Hebrew slave had helped him and told him the significance of his dream. And in haste, Pharaoh now sends for Joseph, brings him from the prison, hoping that Joseph somehow could resolve the situation regarding his dreams and finally put his mind at rest. And as the story unfolds, Joseph was delivered from prison. He was able to listen to the dreams. He was able to give an answer, And in his conversation with Pharaoh, a number of things are clearly underlined. Number one, he said that it was God and God alone who held the answer to Pharaoh's problem. Secondly, he said that the king's heart was in the hand of the Lord. And thirdly, he said there was danger ahead for Pharaoh and his people. And if he didn't prepare wisely for that time, then things would only get worse. Now that's the content of what happened in their conversation. And I want to take those three things very quickly as time moves on and just say something about each of them. Because what was true of Pharaoh on this occasion is true of your life and mine tonight, especially if we're not a Christian. First of all, he said it was God and God alone who held the answer to his problem. The world's full of problems. You only have to turn on the news any night of any day of any week and listen to the problems that are all around us in society, all around us in the country in which we live, some of them which should concern the child of God and bring them to their knees to pray about them. But there are problems galore. And there are people tonight with all kinds of problems who don't know who to turn to. They don't know where to go for help. Some of them have tried absolutely everything that's on the market and everyone that they know of, and still there is no change. Listen, friends, it lies within the hand of God to bring about change. It is only God who can find the answer to the problems of life, and especially the problem of the individual heart. If we try looking in other things and in other places, we're wasting our time. And I know that you may have many needs, and I may have many needs tonight, but the greatest need we all have is the need of salvation. We have a sin problem. We have a heart problem. As God looks at us, he sees us as we are with the problem that we have. And only God has the answer to the problem. Someone prayed tonight in our prayer meeting about the sin problem, but then also said that there was a remedy, and so there is. You may think tonight that there are many problems in your life that need to be addressed, and you're wondering how you're ever going to cope with them. The greatest problem we all have is sin, and the only one who can change that and deal with that is God. And God has a remedy for our sin. That's why he sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to the cross to be our Savior. And that's why Jesus Christ, though he knew no sin and did no sin, that's why he hung upon the cross. That's why he shed his own life's blood, that sin might be dealt with, and that this problem of sin might be dealt with once and for all and forever. You're here tonight, and that's your real problem. Oh yes, there are other things in your life that are not good and you'd love to deal with them, but maybe all of them flow from this one problem. You're separated from God because of sin. Well, God is the answer. It's found in Christ. He who died can take away your sin. He can give you a new life to begin with. You'll never find an answer to that root problem outside of the only Savior for sinners. He said it was God and God alone who held the answer to his problem. He said that the king's heart was in the hand of the Lord. That's the second thing. Pharaoh had his own idea about what he was going to do, and he had to be reminded, listen, you're subject to God. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter how great you are. Doesn't matter the size of the kingdom that you rule. Doesn't matter how many people you call to find an answer to your problem. You are in the hand of God. I wonder tonight, do you realize that? You're in the hand of God. The God that you have for many years perhaps rebelled against and said, well, you'll have no part in my life. You'll not tell me how to live. You have no control over me. I'll do my own thing. I'll go my own way. I'll sort my own life out. No. Oh, yes, you can do your own thing and go your own way and do all the things that I've mentioned, but don't forget that your life is in the hand of God. Ultimately, He's the one that you'll have to do with. And it doesn't matter how long you rebel. It doesn't matter how far away you get from Him. It doesn't matter how deep down in sin you might be. There's a day coming when you'll be called to accountability. There is a God with whom we all have to do. And here's the third thing he said. There was danger ahead for Pharaoh. If he didn't prepare wisely for that time, things would only get worse. But they did get worse. Everything that Joseph explained to him in the dreams comes to pass. Things did get worse. But at least Pharaoh made preparation for that day. That day. What about you? If the main problem in your life is the problem of your heart and sin, if God is the one with whom we all have to do, and there's a day coming when we must stand and give an account of ourselves to Him, then are you going to prepare for that day? That day. That day when time will be no more. Life will have run its course. Death will have come. And you'll have to slip out into eternity. Perhaps if you die as you're living just now, you're unprepared and not ready to meet God and not bound for heaven. That's a tragedy. Tragedy. To listen tonight to what Ruth has just been singing. There are people all around us in that state. No thought of God. No faith in Christ. No interest in a church, no hope for eternity. Maybe you're one of them. Maybe tonight we are Christians here and we know who is one of them. Our families, our communities. People still need the Lord. What are we doing to bring them to Christ? Here's Joseph. He's in the prison cell. We see Joseph's delay because God had him there, working behind the scenes. Joseph's deliverance, he left the prison with a message for Pharaoh's heart. Joseph's delight. Not only was he delivered out of prison, I'll be quick with this, but that's what God had decreed. Soon he'd be exalted. He'd become one of the most influential men in the whole of Egypt. When Pharaoh listened to what God said to him through Joseph, he responded quickly by giving Joseph a status that he could only have dreamed of during his days in prison. Do you know what Pharaoh said of Joseph? He said, can we find such a one as this? A man in whom the Spirit of God is. What a testimony. Can we find such a one as this? A man in whom the Spirit of God is. He was given authority to do what he pleased. He was given the power to act in any way that seemed best to him. What a delight that must have been to Joseph. Now it all begins to come together, preserved from death even though his brothers wanted to get rid of him, delivered from prison even though he felt he'd been forgotten about, acquitted, declared to be free of all blame, invested with a position of power and authority. He's now prime minister in Egypt. For not only was Joseph delivered, he was brought into a place of great blessing. That's what God will do in your life tonight and mine if we trust Christ as our Savior. He not only delivered us, as we thought about a couple of Sundays ago, from our prison cell where we're held in bondage to our sin. He not just delivered us from that kind of life and give us a new life to begin with, but he will bring us into the place of blessing. Blessings, abundant, spiritual blessings. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Well, I could take the rest of the night. I don't have that. But I will say this. God delivers the sinner from bondage and sets him free from his sin. That's a blessing. God delivers the sinner from his bondage and sets him free from his sin. He's acquitted of all guilt. He's declared to be righteous. His sin will be remembered against him no more forever. And God can do that, lest you feel that he cannot. God can do that because of the death of Christ and all that he has purchased for the sinner at the cross. That's a real blessing. God cleanses the sinner from every spot and stain, clothing him in the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ, making him a new creature in Christ. God takes the sinner and not only delivers him and cleanses him, but adopts him into his family and makes him a son and a daughter of God. God assures him of a place in heaven. Gives him a promise that one day Christ will come and take him home. And assures him that for all who trust in Christ, there are all spiritual blessings in heavenly places to enjoy. Does your life tonight bring that kind of enjoyment? Let's be honest. As you look at life and how you live and what you get out of it and where you're heading, what are the blessings that life brings to you? Your sin? Is that a blessing? If it separates you from God and will leave you on the verge of a lost eternity, how can it be a blessing? Friends in Christ, tonight you could have blessings abundant. Abundant. And Joseph was delivered, exalted to a place of prominence, and knew the blessing of God upon him. You and I can experience the same. If you're not saved, surely that's the kind of deliverance you need. And I assure you on the authority of God's word that in Christ you'll be delighted. Or delight about many things. But you'll be delighted not just in time, you'll be delighted for the whole of eternity. But then again, you could miss this. Because you could reject him. And rob yourself of blessing. Live and die thinking you're still in control of your own destiny. And forgetting there is a God in heaven with whom you have to do. Think about it. Ponder it. Think of the blessings that could be yours in Jesus Christ tonight.